Hello and welcome to The Shape of Work, a podcast series by SpringWorks. My name is Anoop and I am your host. Each week, we'll be talking to top people managers across the world on the future of work and how it's shaping our workplace. So sit back and get ready to find out more from these movers and shakers as we have a no-holds-barred, anything-goes conversation with them about their journey, their insights, their thoughts, and most importantly, their ideas and vision for the workplace of the future. Join in on the conversation, leave a comment, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Shape of Work podcast. Joining us today, we have Mr. Sameer Kalra, who's the co-founder at Pum Pum Pum, India's first pre-owned car leasing company that is empowering smart car subscriptions for Indian millennials. So, Sameer, how are we doing today?
Wonderful, Shraddha. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, it's great to have you. Before we jump into our conversation, which I'm sure is going to be really interesting, it would be great if you could just set up a base for our listeners, you know. So if you could just be, tell us a little bit about yourself, your career journey till now.
Sure. So Shraddha, I've been born and brought up in Delhi, did my MBA in the year 1999. And that's when I started my career. Initial 8 years were in training and consulting. So okay. I've spent a little bit of time in companies like Hero MindMine. So Hero MindMine is a training and consulting arm of the Hero Group. So Hero Group overall is known for its manufacturing prowess, but they have an arm which basically is into training and consulting. Spent some years in a company called NIT. So at that point in time, computerization and people getting trained on computers was a very in thing. So spent around 8 years there.
Okay.
2007 onwards, I've been in the automobile leasing industry, worked primarily for companies like LeasePlan. So LeasePlan happens to be globally the largest auto lease company, as we see it. Spent around 8.5 years there in various capacities, including leading the sales function. Then moved to a company called Avis. Avis globally is known for its car rental prowess in almost 125 countries, but in almost around 45-50 countries, they also have a car leasing portfolio. Okay. So I was part of the management team there, leading the car leasing portfolio for around 3.5 years, and then moved to a company called Clicks Capital. Clicks Capital is the erstwhile G Capital, which then was taken over by the founders, Mr. Pramod Bhasin and Mr. Anil Chawla. There I was heading as vice president of automobile business, used car loans, and auto lease portfolio. 2019, call it mid-age crisis, I had spent 20 years in the industry, so always wanted to do something on my own. And since the last 13, 14 years, then I had done nothing else apart from auto lease. So, that is how I joined my partner called Tarun. Tarun is an IITB graduate. Both of us then, primarily started Pum Pum Pum, which is again into used car leasing space. So that's been my journey up to now.
That's amazing. I mean, I was absolutely right when I said the conversation is going to be interesting. You have a great, journey till now. Just and as interesting as the name of the company is.
It's primarily based on that old Hindi song jingle called Manu Bhai Motor Chali Pum Pum Pum.
Okay.
That's how the genesis of the word Pum Pum Pum.
Okay, that's a great information. That's good to know. Great. So, the study from Slack found out that, two of every three executives are making changes to office rules, but with very little to no input, no direct input from workers. Yes. So are we, we know that failing to listening to employees can be costly. So what are some of the precautionary steps that you would suggest?
Yeah, I think, it's very important to understand the aspirations of the people that you're hiring. Right. I mean, gone are those days around 20, 25 years ago when, people used to take jobs very differently. Today, I think the millennials that you're hiring are more vocal about their needs, are more experiential when you talk about it. So, just the paychecks will not be doing enough. I think it is important to listen to what they want. And that is how, the genesis of 360-degree feedback as well, which came into the picture when we talk about doing assessments of people or the annual appraisals. So I think it is important to understand what their aspiration is, what their need is, and accordingly adjust. It is easy to sit in the ivory tower and make rules which probably make no sense in today's age. Some of the things that you can point out today is, like people coming exactly on time. I mean, with the traffic situation today, with the way millennials are, I think, you know, a lot of flexibility needs to be given to these people for them to be more productive. At least this is what we've done at Pump 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 as well. So there is no office timing of anybody coming up to the office, showing up in the office. There are tasks which are assigned. There are tasks that have to be completed. There are meetings that have to be attended, whether they are online or they're offline. I think it is important to understand, you know, people need that flexibility today with the kind of lifestyle that they need. So I think most of the organizations who are thriving today, who are bigger in stature, have been one of the key differentiators for them has been that they've been listening to their employees, and there is suddenly a change in the generation of people that are moving up to the middle management level now. So people who are in their 90s or people who have been born in 2000s are slowly and steadily moving towards the middle management, right, who are also then, you know, more adaptive and more aware of the needs of the millennials, and that's how I think things are changing.
Correct. That's true, actually, and I think most of the companies are following that today. Right, great.
Absolutely.
So, if you talk about, Pump Pump Pump, so why do you think HR should opt for, you know, used car leasing for their employees?
Okay. So, Shraddha, if you see the automobile leasing industry, it's been in this country for almost 2 decades now. So LeasePlan was the first global player that came into India in the year 1999. At that point in time, leasing was a very alien subject, both for the person who was offering and the person who was taking the car lease. So, you know, at that point in time, things were very different. But what really has happened over the years is people have started realizing that, you know, let's look at leasing any asset which is depreciating. So, you know, we firmly believe that, you know, own what appreciates and lease what depreciates. And car clearly is a depreciating asset over a period of time. So what really happened is, you know, people have opted for leasing in the corporate world primarily to give tax advantage to their, employees and give convenience. So it is important to understand that, you know, when you own a car, it is not just about, trading and buying a car. It is also about maintaining the car. It is about the life cycle of the car, which today scenario eats up a lot of productive time out of people. So corporations and organizations have started taking cars on lease for their employees for one basic reason, that let these people be mobile enough through the cars that are provided. However, let them not spend time on maintaining these cars and getting into the hassles of repairs, maintenance, insurance, so on and so forth. So that's how the genesis of leasing came into picture. But most of the global players happen to only choose to work in the new car space, and that to own down in the corporate. So what really happened is we firmly at Pump 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 believe that, you know, new car lease is something that really does not make too much of sense. Obviously, it makes sense, and that's the reason the industry is there. However, you know, most of the things that leasing company tries to do is, you know, are available through the manufacturers themselves. Like there is an on-road funding available. You know, the back-to-back warranties are very, very strong when it comes to a new car. And most of the new age OEMs are today also providing you a buyback guarantee. So you use a MG car for 3 years today and you get a 50% buyback guarantee. Correct. So technically, whatever a leasing company was trying to solve is already being done by OEM. So why we started Pump 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 in the used car space is because that's very different. I mean, the used car space is like a black hole. So, you know, you today go out and buy a used car, you're not aware of what's the right price. You know, every other platform will offer you a different price. Every other dealer will offer you a different price of the same car. So you're not sure. Secondly, none of the people are today taking a back-to-back warranty on these used cars, which are already pre-owned. And secondly, you know, selling a third-hand car today in the market is a challenge. There is a lot of all that. That is what Pump Pump is doing. And on top of it, if you offer it, there are tax advantages to be taken.
Right.
So I think that's the primary reason. One, there are two things that from the HR perspective it does is, one, it makes the life of the employee easier, makes him more productive because he's moving away from all the hassles of owning a car. Secondly, his longevity in the organization is also assured. So what really happens is it's a 1 year, 2 year lease. So if somebody is taking a 2 year lease, you can be reasonably sure that he's not going to leave their employment for at least next 2 years.
Right.
So, you know, it helps HR in actually attracting the right talent, and after attracting the talent, also retaining the talent. It's a very powerful tool being used by most of the organizations for ages now. So that's one portion of it. Second, obviously, as we said, and we started our conversation with what people need today, the millennials are different. So everybody is an aspirational user today. So used car leasing primarily gives an option for the employee of a corporate to drive his aspirational car, which he may not want to own as a brand new, but has an aspiration to drive a car. And this gives him an opportunity, him or her, an opportunity to drive that car.
Right.
So, you know, it's overall from the HR perspective, a very powerful tool to adopt. And obviously it increases your in-hand salary also because there are tax advantages associated with taking a car on lease.
Right. So, yeah, I think those were some really, insightful things that we can take away from here. Great. So I would actually love to hear, what problem is PumpUpM trying to solve, or what is it all about? And of course, you're also trying to help employees save up tax, like you just said, on their salaries. So if you could just elaborate a little bit more on that.
Sure. So, what PumpUpM is doing is, today, if you and I were to buy a car today, I think most probably many of the people would go in for a new car for the very basic reason that is an easier transaction and the total cost of ownership of a new car comes out to be lesser. Right. There are risks around owning a car which are today in the new OEMs are already being sorted out in terms of their back-to-back warranties, maintenance packages available, and it's an on-road funding available for every car that you buy today. So, you go to a bank, you sit at the dealership, you today immediately get a funding on the car. You get back-to-back warranties, you get insurance products, which are very standardized, and the life is easy. So that's one of the reasons that, people opt for a new car. Now, in the used car space, the problem starts right from the time you want to choose a car. So, most of the people in the used car space are first, are not clear as to what car should they be looking at. Second comes, what kind of a documentation is required for a used car? Because, up till now, the used car space was very, very unorganized. Of course, there are a lot of platforms in the used car space that have come up and have become unicorns as well, which are kind of, organizing the space or making it more organized in terms of buying and selling of cars. However, the funding of these used cars still remains a challenge. So banks shy away a little bit from funding a used car because they're not clear about the asset value.
Right.
There is no standardized price available for a car today. So every platform would be selling the same car at a different price. So that's first challenge. Second challenge comes in, if you own a used car today, you are not sure about the quality of the car. You really don't know, what kind of a warranties which are available should be bought. Warranties which are available by many of the platforms are also, very limited in nature. They are restricted to probably only their engines and the gearbox. Now, a car has much more components than engine and gearbox. There are tires, there are batteries, there are shockers, there is an air conditioning. Multiple things. So anything can go wrong in a used car because end of the day, it's already a pre-owned car, which has been driven for a few years. So what we thought was, if the people were to own this car and the average ownership, the data suggests that the average ownership of a used car in India is only 2 years. If the average ownership or the usage of the car is only 2 years, why should a customer go through all the hassles of finding the right car, looking at the right financial partner, then, taking the risk on the maintenance of the car? I mean, it is something which is not required. So right. What PumpUpM does is creates a layer on top of everything and says, okay, you give me one EMI, which includes your funding of the car, which includes all repair, maintenance, insurance, tires, batteries, everything. And after 2 years of usage, you return the car back to you and you upgrade to a better car. So it's more of a subscription model when you call it in the retail segment. And when we go to the corporate and offer this product, it's called operating lease. So the idea is to make ownership of a used car very, very simple. For a user, it should be like driving a brand new car wherein he has a back-to-back warranty on these cars. So the beauty of the product is that the customer tells us which car he wants to drive, whichever aspirational car he wants to drive. Then it is the job of the team that we have at PumpUpM to find out the right car. Because more than the customer, it is important for us also to have the right product in place because next 2 years of risk has been taken by us. And my customer experience is also at stake. So a customer primarily drives a car the way he would drive a brand new car without worrying about the quality, price, insurance and everything. So that's the primary reason that we started PumpUpM. Of course, now we are also venturing into electric vehicles. That's our focus area.
Okay.
Of course, electric vehicles today are not available in the used car market because it's a pretty new product. But we are building up our capability and capacity to also manage, adoption of electric vehicles in India. So we firmly believe the subscription model and the operating lease model that we are offering to our corporate is the first way of adoption because nobody would want to own an electric vehicle by himself today, because, you know, there are still question marks around it in terms of technology, in terms of robustness. But, you know, when you are offered a car with complete risk coverage for, say, 2 years and you want to drive it, I mean, most of the people that we've seen are now opting for electric vehicles as well, because the fundamental problem of owning a car and the risks around a car are similar to a pre-owned car and an electric vehicle both. IC engines, of course, new cars are now a settled commodity. Most of the people know how to manage those cars, but used cars and electric vehicles are something that we are completely, for the next 3 to 4 years, going to focus on. The moment we offer these kind of products to the corporate, of course, as I told you, there are tax advantages. So what really happens is the EMI or the lease rental that we are charging is deducted from an employee's pre-tax salary, which means, you know, if somebody's got a salary of 100 rupees and he takes a car, say 20 rupees a month from us, his salary is restructured to 80 rupees plus a company provided car. So for the employer, it technically is a cost neutral proposition, because he was supposed to pay 100 rupees to an employee as salary, out of which 80 will pay to him and 20 rupees will come to us, which means, a cost neutral thing for the employer, and the employee, instead of getting taxed at 100 rupees, now gets taxed at 80 rupees, which primarily means on the 20 rupees that he's paying to us, he still gets a tax benefit, which could be, up to 30%, depending on the tax bracket that he is. So that's one of the reasons that, you know, corporates have really, really opened up this policy and taken this, offering done by Pump 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 to a next level. And also, traditionally, if you see new car leases, which have been in India for the last 2 decades, have been offered to only top management.
Right.
But when we offer used car leasing and pre-owned car leasing, generally the policies are open to the next level of people as well. So we clearly say that we are in a mission to democratize car lease policies for corporates, wherein even a middle-level executive or a middle-level management person should be able to drive a leased car and not just restrict the policies to the top management the way it was done for new car leases.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, yeah, those were some really discerning information that we probably tend to skip, you know, we don't really think about it as much as, Great. So, Samir, when it comes to measuring employee experience, what kind of measures should organizations be focusing on, you know, to understand what is successful employee experience?
Yeah. So, you know, I think what I feel is the first experience that an, employee or a potential employee has is your recruitment process. Okay. I mean, you know, most of the people tend to skip that. And, you know, many of the organizations are kind of outsourcing this activity to consultants. I'm not undermining here at all the role of, consultants here. But I think it is important to put your best foot forward at the time when you are actually, you know, trying to interview a client or interview a employee, a potential employee. It starts from there. I mean, in terms of, you know, being on time when you're scheduling an interview. These are small little hygiene factors which are very, very critical that adds on to the overall experience. Then I think, you know, as I said, now most of the millennials are coming at the middle level now at this point in time. So what is more important for them is the experience that they have in office. It is not about the discipline alone. I think it's more to do with the experience that they have. What kind of an office do you have? What kind of a flexibility is being offered in terms of work? What is the culture all around? Is the culture supportive of innovation or not? Because believe you me, the current generation that we have is a very, very creative generation. And to be able to, you know, fully get advantage out of their, creative nature, it is important to have a culture all around which promotes innovation. Now, innovation is a double-edged sword. I mean, it can go either ways, right? Innovation can also bring you results which are not very conducive in the shorter term for your organization. But I think that balance every organization has to find out and be able to take, successes and even failures at the same time, because innovation will have failures as well. But I think many of the traditional organizations initially who went into innovation because of failures kind of gave up that culture. But I think successful organizations are those who have kept up the culture of innovation. And eventually after failures, have also seen huge successes, both in terms of their processes, in terms of, the way the organizations function, so on and so forth. So I think that's very, very important to be, you know, adding on to the employee experience. Secondly, you know, small little perks being offered to individuals. That's very, very important. What kind of an office you have, what kind of facilities are you providing to your employees, which basically gives them a feeling that they're being cared for. That's another factor. Third, of course, is the monetary and the other aspect, which is the R&R, the rewards and recognition. I think it is important to have people recognized for the work that they've done. The outcome could have gone anywhere. I mean, if somebody has innovated and has had the courage to innovate within a system, I think that should also be somewhere rewarded, because most of the organizations today tend to reward only the outcomes and not the effort itself. I think it's an important factor that adds on to the experience of an employee within an organization. So as they say, a person who would leave you for salary can come back to you for culture, but a person who leaves you for culture will never come back to you for salary. I think that holds very, very true when it comes to organizations of today's generation.
Right. I totally agree. I mean, in fact, the last part, I totally agree to that. Great. So, amidst a nationwide talent shortage, companies understand why they need to be more than steady paycheck and benefits to attract and retain the quality of employees. So what are some of the ways that organizations can use, to attract and to retain talent? Like you were just talking about all these employee satisfaction and everything. So if you could just talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. See, I think, paychecks are important, but I think if you look at the current generations, they're all sorted out in terms of their basic things. So, when we started our careers back in the 90s, the first thing that anybody thought was making a house, making the first car. I think most of things for the current generations are sorted out. So I think, they're looking at a job just beyond their paychecks. It is about the creative satisfaction that they get out of it. It is about the interest level that they do. And I think it is important also to make them understand the entire business in a 360 degree fashion. So what really means is you may hire a person in marketing, but if you don't move around him in terms of finance, HR, it could be operations, it could be, sales, his exposure gets limited. And this generation really does not want to get limited by exposure. So, it is important for every organization to give an opportunity to each and every employee that they today hire, to have him the freedom to choose which direction his career should go. And I'm especially talking about, generally organizations hire young people from the colleges also today. At that point in time, I firmly believe nobody knows what is their strength. I mean, when I moved out of college, I did my MBA in marketing, but I never knew I would be in sales. I mean, I didn't know. The only thing was MBA marketing meant that you would be going in sales at that point in time. But however, over a period of time, I realized, I might be stronger in operations, though I may not have a formal degree there. But I think that's a very important aspect that today's generation is looking forward to. So that's one way that you can, actually look at talent being attracted. Secondly, there are, apart from the paychecks, there are ways and means in terms of rewards and recognition. What kind of an incentive structure are you putting forward? What kind of a reward and recognition policy does your organization have also determines the kind of people that you can take. The perks are extremely important. People are not looking at longevity of an organization, but looking at whatever time that they spend in the organization, which could be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, is something which is memorable, in which they earn and they also learn as they are earning. So I think that opportunity is extremely critical. Then it is important for an organization to also pick out your future leaders. They may be at an executive level today, but if you have the right processes in place and the right policies in place, you should be able to pick out your future leaders as well. And it is important to groom those future leaders in the right direction by moving them around in the entire organization. Could be also sending them out for a couple of courses which adds on to their formal education in a certain sphere of work that you are wanting them to do. So, these are opportunities that most of the people would be wanting to do today. Secondly, as I said, flexibility is extremely important. I mean, today's people may not want to come at office at 9 o'clock in the morning and leave at 6. I mean, 9 to 6 is something which is over. It is important for them to have that freedom at what point of time they are most productive, take their work there. I think, but not losing sight of the end objective. Obviously, there are tasks to be defined. There are outcomes to be defined. But I think the way those outcomes and tasks are done can be a little flexible, which organizations can adopt and adapt to, which makes it an interesting place to work for. Third, today you look at the kind of fancy offices that you have today. There are areas within the office that promote creativity. So I'll take a little bit of time to talk about my earlier organization called Clicks Capital,
okay,
which had a very separate thinking area. I mean, that thinking area was, it was a small library with two or three hammocks in place. You could actually lie down on a hammock for, say, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour during the day and just read a book and then come back and do your stuff. So, you know, this is something that really, really works very well with the generation today. They need to have their freedom. They need to have time for them to think outside the box. Because if you're expecting people to just follow the tasks, I think that's not going to happen today, right? And it is important for an organization to understand that the business environment itself is very, very, you know, it's changing very fast today. It's continuously changing. It is important to adapt. And if you want to adapt, I think your people have to be more creative and more open to innovation than anything else. So everything boils down to how, what kind of a culture you're building. Plus, if you look at the kind of policies that you have around annual appraisals, I mean, it is important in the appraisal cycles, and most of the organizations may miss on that, is not only rewarding or promoting people who have been able to give outcomes. It is also important to reward and recognize the process of those outcomes, the innovation behind those outcomes. I think the moment we start doing that, we are building a culture within the organization is continuously growing, and people are wanting to then join that kind of an organization, both in terms of work and consulting assignments as well. There are good people that would want to get associated with you as an organization. So it's an overall thing. It's not just one thing that works. I think it's easier said than done. It has to be lived by everybody, right from top management to the middle management, to the HR, to the finance, because generally people also find finance is a very mundane job, but I think there are ways and means of making finance very interesting as well. So, all those things put together are something that is definitely required in today's day and age to be able to attract talent and to retain them. On the retention side, of course, yes, the culture is one. And secondly, what kind of rewards and recognitions you place. Third, most important is what are your policies around it. So, if you look at the car lease policy is one such thing, which is a very powerful tool, as I told you, to attract and retain talent today.
Right.
And that's a complete package that most of the people might be looking at today's point.
Right. I totally agree. I mean, unfortunately with this, we have come to an end of the podcast and end of the discussion. And I really loved it. Of course, my favorite part was when you spoke about the balance of culture and paycheck. I mean, especially today when employee satisfaction is everything. So it was, great to have you here as a part of our, podcast. And I hope that we'll have some really interesting conversation in the near future as well.
Sure. That was a pleasure. And thank you so much for having me here.
Great. So, and also, Sameer, if somebody wants to reach out to you, would LinkedIn be the best platform?
Yeah, absolutely. LinkedIn is absolutely, I'm quite active on LinkedIn as well. So more than happy to get connected to anyone who wants to, because we as an organization, as a young organization, are also wanting to, look at the right talent, because we are looking at our next level of management at this point in time. We are also looking at middle management. So, it is important for us to be open, and from otherwise other perspective also, whatever little value I can add, I'll be more than happy to do that at any point in time.
Great. Amazing. All right, Sameer. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Shraddha. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.